Coming up next on 88.1 FM, a chance to get to know one of your neighbors better on Porch Talk. Like all of our programming, Porch Talk is made possible in part by Watts members, who show their appreciation of community radio by donating to WWER. For more information, go to wwer.org/membership.
Hello, I'm Sam Trianders, and I am sitting here with Chief Deaver, who has recently come into town as our new police chief for Colonial Beach. So, Chief, how long have you been here now?
Just over 2 months working in the town.
2 months? It seems like it's been 2 weeks to me. Welcome.
Thank you. I know you
have done a Town Matters radio program already with Ted Tate, and you've spoken a little bit about yourself and your goals and what you want to do in this town and how possibly you're going to go about doing it. And we can talk about that also, but that was broadcast on last Thursday and Saturday, so if anybody wanted to hear that, they can get onto archives and listen to that. Have you listened to it yet?
I have.
Oh, good, good.
I listened to it this week through the archives.
And what did you think? That's a good guy, right?
I enjoyed it, and I feel that when it was recorded, it was definitely my position. I'm not sure my position has changed professionally, but I've been here longer now, so I've been able to kind of expand on some things where it was still very early and fresh in my tenure here when I did the Town Matters discussion.
Yes, and now you've been here a little bit longer. You've done things like a coffee with a cop here at Buzz, and hopefully you had a chance to meet a lot of people and they meet you. And I know you've been walking up and down the street. I know my dog Rascal has tried to terrorize you as you walk by. Thank you for doing that and not pulling out your gun and shooting him. Anyway, so what I want to do is talk about you, not necessarily your goals as a police officer, but just you and what brought you here. So when I was a small child, I was asked by my teacher in second grade to draw what I wanted to be. It wasn't just me, but the other people in the class too, the other children. Draw what you want to be when you grow up. And I had no clue. Do you remember that at the time that people would ask you, what do you want to be when you grow up, and what you would say?
It was normally the military. I was a military brat, multiple generations of Army in my family. So that's what I was familiar with and accustomed to and wanted to be a part of. And when I was looking at colleges, that's kind of where I wanted to go. And then attending college and getting part-time jobs in private security. This was pre-9/11 too. Mm-hmm. So 9/11 had not occurred. We were not in the global war on terror. So the army was a garrison army, is what they call it. You know, there was no major conflicts occurring at the time. And at some point in my early 20s, after being in college for a couple years, I transitioned from the military to law enforcement. Still, both are honorable professions and they're both service and very structured. Maybe that's what lended me to both of them, is my type A personality I have that I can recognize now in my 40s that in my 20s I probably didn't know existed.
Well, I did have a question for you about, was there a particular time in your life when you were in the military or just even before you got into the military that there was someone or something that influenced you to go into law enforcement?
My mother's dad retired law enforcement out of Virginia in the early 80s. And hearing some of his stories, I don't really remember it. I was little when he was still in the law enforcement. But hearing his stories and seeing the memorabilia he had after his military career probably lended to it some.
Did he influence what you do now as a chief of police or
oh yes,
for the stories that he told you and
absolutely,
how he went about his job?
Yeah, I mean, I think key people in your lives influence you on a conscious and or subconscious level if you want them to or not.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I learned tremendous from my grandparents and my parents, and learning and going through those experiences have made me who I am today. And I can recognize that now, but you don't see it in the moment. And sometimes, with your parents especially, you don't like it in the moment when they're trying to guide you and teach you and get you on the right path of life. It's contradictory to what you want to do when you're in your teens and early 20s sometimes.
Did he let you wear his badge?
No. Those I have all that stuff now since he's passed. I have his service weapon from when he retired, his badges, IDs, his Miranda card that was typed on a typewriter and laminated from the early 70s. I have all that memorabilia now in my house, and but at the time, as a child, I don't recall seeing it or it being really talked about. I mean, I have vague memories of it, but...
So were there any particular stories that he told you that stuck with you that were a learning experience or just interesting or fun to listen to as a child?
Not that I can recall. He didn't really talk a lot of stories when I was younger. As I got into the profession and I made lieutenant, he spoke about some things that had happened there in his career, but it was a different time in law enforcement before I was born. So law enforcement has definitely changed over the last 50 plus years from when he was in law enforcement.
Where was he in law enforcement?
In Virginia.
In Virginia, okay. Around here or Pocosin, where you're from?
Around the Richmond area.
Okay. All right. So I know as a person who wears a uniform, and especially chief of police in a small town like this, people are watching you, you know, and observing you. And how does that feel to know that? So you know that, right? You know you're being watched, you know.
Yes. You know, growing up and working in a smaller community, the city of Pocosin is about 12,000 residents. I experienced that there as well. And I've learned from that. So I work long hours and often weekends. So yard work is not a friend of mine. I don't enjoy it to begin with, nor do I have the time to do it. But I realize in my position that people have and will continue to learn where I'm renting in town. And I know from my time in Pocosin, if I didn't have my grass cut every weekend, it was the talk of the town at the 7-Eleven. So
oh
I'm sure the same thing will occur here.
How did you know that it was the talk of the town? Would people tell you?
Oh, yes. People, I drove by your house the other day and noticed your grass was a little high. You need help cutting it. Make those kind of statements.
Oh, that was great. They offered to
help
you.
And I had neighbors do it often. And, you know, and that's what I enjoy about being in a small community. You know, I've worked in inner city, large inner cities, and it was enjoyable and exciting from a law enforcement standpoint, but it's not where I wanted to spend my career. I enjoy being a part of the community and seeing the differences that not only myself but the entire department makes to the community, and that's important to me. And so when I started looking at police chief positions, I was trying to find something that would be a good fit for me personally, for my family, and where I could really feel like I was a part of the community. You know, when I got into law enforcement, I wanted to work for a smaller jurisdiction where you were more than just a badge number, like you are in a huge city or a state police organization, where it's more of a family, where you know people and you celebrate birthdays and birth of children. And unfortunately, sometimes you console people during tough times in their life, divorces and loss of family members. But when you work for a large agency, you may know the few people that you work with daily, but by and large, you don't know those type of events that happen throughout the entire department. And for me, that's important to have a sense of family and a sense of community and camaraderie, not only in the police department, but in the overall jurisdiction of the community as well. That's important to me.
Yeah, and it's really nice having people offer to cut your grass, too.
Well, of course it is. So
does your grass need cutting now?
It does need cutting now. Oh, no. I need to try to find a lawnmower or a good service that can help me cut the grass.
Okay, well, maybe when someone is listening to this, they can call you up or just send you an email and say, I'll cut your grass for you. Do you have a lawnmower?
I do not, so okay. It makes it very difficult to cut my grass. I've been renting in town since the 1st of April, and the grass has been cut twice, and it looks very nice when it's cut, but with the rain we've been having and with the time of year it is, it's really growing quickly. So it is due again.
You talked about how you were at the FBI Academy. Is that what
it? Yes, I attended the FBI National Academy at Quantico, Virginia, for 10 weeks. Mm-hmm. It's a law enforcement, executive law enforcement leadership training. That is, how do I?
What kind of things did you learn there, or do they do? Because you've been to academies for law enforcement.
Right. So this is an executive leadership school, mm-hmm. and it's to help law enforcement change their paradigm shift from rank and file to an executive level, and foster different experiences, both personal interactions with people, because you live there, you live in Quantico for 10 weeks.
Okay.
So I had a roommate again, which is different, right? You
yes,
share a bathroom with another room with suite mates, which is different. So it was kind of like being in my 20s again, all over again.
How many people were in this class?
There was 256 law enforcement officers from around the world in my class. By and large, it was from the United States.
Oh, from around the world, you
said? Around
the
world, yes.
Okay.
So there was, I want to say, somewhere in the neighborhood of 50 international students from all over the world. There was people from Mexico, Thailand, Singapore.
Interesting.
There are a couple countries in South Africa, India. There was somebody from India in the class. You graduate after 10 weeks and there's 250 people in the class, but the way it's kind of structured, there was people I saw at graduation day that I never saw for the 10 weeks I was there. So I don't really call where everybody was from. I've tried to get to know most of them, and I still speak to probably a dozen or more of them very often. Almost weekly I'm speaking with somebody I went to the National Academy with. It was a great experience. It was a great honor to be able to attend. It's very difficult to get in. Statistically, they say less than 1% of the world's law enforcement gets to attend this training. So people liken it to Harvard Law School type of training. Mm-hmm. It's very, very high level, elite. Normally it's years on a wait list to try to get into it.
That must have been very interesting, meeting people from other countries and having an opportunity to listen to their stories or experiences and how they do things.
Absolutely. So I remember the gentleman from India, their law enforcement typically doesn't carry firearms. So, and they're a national police force where we don't really have that in the United States. Every town or city or state has their own law enforcement department. Where in India, it's one department, if I recall correctly, and I could be wrong, but it was just one police department for the entire country. And Scotland is kind of the same way, and some of the other European countries are that way.
Mm-hmm.
Where in North America, it's more centralized to a state level or a regional level, as in Canada or Mexico.
So you had opportunities to talk to each other and learn about each other's experiences, besides learning what you were there for, which was the leadership portion of it.
Yes. So the leadership portion of it, we had a block schedule. We had six classes that rotated on a block schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very academic. It was very much high school, college-esque. And we had physical fitness standards to get into the training, and we had weekly physical fitness trainings while we were there. The program cultivates with something called the Yellow Brick Road, which is a 6+ mile obstacle course for the first 2 to 3 miles of it, and then there's a road run for the rest of it to complete the program, and then you earn your brick, which is a yellow brick from Yellow Brick Road.
Uh-huh.
So that not everybody is able to complete that because it is very physically demanding. And you have to meet a physical standard to be able to participate. You have to be able to run a mile in an X number of time and perform some other matrix before they say you're physically fit enough to do this 6+ mile obstacle/road course.
Sure. Are you a runner?
I was a runner in high school and college. And I don't run as much now as I get older, and the wear and tear on the body of the job.
Yeah.
And running in my teens and early 20s, my body doesn't like me to run anymore, but I understand the benefits of it, and I still try to do it when it's nice outside. I'm a fair weather runner.
Oh, okay.
Just as I'm a fair weather golfer.
Well, I think when I moved here, I saw very few people on the street running. And now there's a lot. So you don't feel like you stand out as much when you do run. But anyway, but you are a biker, because you've been certified to be on bicycle patrol.
Yes. Yeah, that was early in my career. I did that and I enjoyed it through the rank of sergeant. I have not been on a police bike, a mountain bike, in many years now, since probably 2014, give or take, was probably the last time I was on a mountain bike for police operations. Mm-hmm. I used to cycle some, yes, but again, that's another perishable skill, and my body's probably not in shape to do that these days. But it is enjoyable, and it has a lot less impact on your body than running.
Yes, that is hard on your body. And you're lucky, I think, if you can run when in your 20s or teens and keep running when you're in 50s, 60s. I think those are very fortunate people, because you do wear down a lot of things in your body when you do run. I used to run and I loved it sometimes. I mostly hated it, but I did it because, like you said, it has such great benefits, because it feels so good to finish when you're done. Think, okay, I'm glad I did this. Now, I've observed you when you're talking to people, and so I'm one of those people that's watching you, but I've observed how good you are at focusing, and focusing on the person that you're talking to, instead of somebody walks in the door and you quickly turn around and look. Now, I know as a police officer, you have to be very observant, and you have to be really watching everything around you. But I don't know how you can do that when you're giving the person so much attention. So how did you learn to do that? Was that something that came naturally, or did you learn to do that?
No, I've learned that over the years by the position of being in law enforcement, being situationally aware of your surroundings, and trying not to be oblivious to what's going on or who's around, but also not being paranoid. So it's a fine dichotomy of mm-hmm. a blend there. And then as I've grown in the profession and gone through the ranks and gone through various leadership trainings, to include the National Academy, you know, really focusing on who you're speaking with or who's speaking to you mm-hmm. says a lot about how much you respect what you're hearing.
Sure.
And as well as your dedication to their time, right?
Yeah, so that's amazing.
Time is the most valuable asset we have.
It is.
Once it's gone, it's gone. You can always make more money, right? You can always buy more properties.
Right.
You can always go run another mile. But but time is precious.
It is, yes.
So, and that is part of the reason why I've been working so many hours, because I need to do my job, right? I have to do the analytic data review of crimes and trends and case laws and understand the legal aspect of my job and develop plans to make the community as safe as I can. But I also have to have day-to-day conversations with staff as well as with citizens. So I find myself doing a lot of paperwork in the early morning hours or the late evening hours, because during the quote-unquote business hours, it's going to meetings and interacting with people. It's walking the streets and communicating with people. It's eating meals and having dialogue with either whoever's at your table that you're having the meal with, or just surrounding you, having those dialogues, which has also been something that's been difficult for me over the years, because I think I was born an introvert, and by sheer nature of the profession and growing and elevating my status in the profession, you have to be an extrovert. I have to be able to walk into a room and just talk to whoever's in there. If it's a crime, a call for service, or if it's the coffee shop or a restaurant.
But you make it sound like you have to do it. You really don't, because I haven't spent a lot of time with people that are in your position in other areas, or really even here in Kelowna Beach. But the thing that I realize is that you're very unique, and that this is not something you have to do, because obviously not other people who are in positions of law enforcement do what you do, be that interested in that and and improving that skill and being connected to the community and talking to the people. That isn't that, I find that very unique in this profession. So you don't have to, but I'm so glad you do.
Well, I thank you for your point of view. I see my position as the police chief to be engaged in the community. Mm-hmm. I can only police the community as much as the community trusts me. Right. And if the community doesn't know me, how can they trust me? And I'm not going to be able to learn the name of every citizen of Colonial Beach.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that because you said you talked about that during the coffee with a cop. And you talked about learning people's names and faces. What technique do you use to do that?
One I need to improve on, that's for sure.
I don't think that you've done a very good job.
There are some people that I will see 2, 3, 4 times, and I will, for the life of me, cannot remember their name. I'll remember every conversation we've had. I'll remember every detail of the conversations, you know, family members or crime issues or what street they live on, where we last had an encounter, but I will have an entire conversation with you and I'll never say your name because I can't remember. That's not everybody. Some people, I have 1 or 2 conversations with them, and during the conversation, I try to say their name multiple times to develop that positive reinforcement. So the next time I see them, I will remember their name. And then there's individuals that you run into more often where you probably need to know their name. You know, walking on the street, talking to a citizen, walking their dog, they'll give me their name and vice versa. But I may not see them again for weeks or months, if ever.
Right.
Right. Because they could be a visitor to the community. So, but if it's somebody at the gas station or the service station or the coffee house or an eating establishment that I'm going to run into multiple times, because there's only a few of those businesses within the town of Colonial Beach, then I make an extra effort to make it a personal connection and try to remember their name.
Yeah, you meet so many people in this town because it is a small town, and you think, okay, I've got to remember this name because I'm going to run into him again. And usually I go home and write down their name really quickly someplace so I can remember. And I write down their pet's name too. As a police officer, you've probably been trained a number of times on how to detect when somebody is not being truthful. Is that true? Is that something that's been part of your training?
To a degree, yes. There are tells that people sometimes demonstrate when they're not being truthful, but that's not for everybody. You know, I'm not a human lie detector.
That's what I was asking. I didn't want to use the word lie because it's it's just such a nasty word sometimes. So I just said truthful, but you can say lie.
But sometimes and I don't know if it's subconsciously through trainings and experience or if it's just intuition or the sixth sense, but you don't go long in a law enforcement career without finding some kind of way, knowing in some level if you're being fed a line or if it's the truth. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some people that are very good living lies and speaking lies and or untruthfulness or equivocations. And those, you know, may not be as easy to understand, but having an analytical mind and being able to follow a thought pattern or a process and picking up on subtle clues or mannerisms or where people are not repeating the same thing in the same conversation. If I ask you how was a vacation this week and I get one answer, and in 2 weeks I ask you the same question and it's close but not the exact same, well, you know, you remembered something different, or you added something this time that you didn't last time, or you subtracted something because you realized you've already told me this once, right? Mm-hmm. So those may not be lies, but those two stories aren't the same. But if I have a conversation with an individual and within 10 minutes I ask them how the vacation was or who they were on the vacation with or something along those lines, and I get 3 different stories, completely different stories, mm-hmm. in a shorter time window in the same conversation, that could be an indication that they're being untruthful in some manner. And maybe not necessarily a lie, but maybe trying to augment or hide one aspect of it versus the different aspect of it.
The reason I bring this up is because I had worked as a volunteer for a sexual assault center, and I watched a detective ask questions, and I had one opinion about what had happened, but she got right to what had happened because of the way that she was reading things, and I found it amazing that happened.
It's hard to be able to articulate that. It's a skill, right? You know, a lot of things that we do is a skill, and it takes time and effort. And just like in sports, some people are better at certain things than others, right? Yeah. Not everybody is going to be an NBA superstar like Michael Jordan, but they're good at a high school level. You know, understanding when somebody is not being truthful is the same way. You can have the basic skills, knowledge, and understanding of how to do it, but having the skill set to be very proficient at it is something different.
Right. Some people are born with a certain skill, too. It seems like they're born with it. But like you said, in sports, that you watch somebody do something and you think, okay, a normal person can't do that. Anyway, I think I've used up a lot of your time, but I do want to ask you just one more question. Is there anything else? I think I told you I was going to ask you this. Is there anything that you would like us to know in this town about you that you think would help in the building of the relationship?
Oh.
And then you can tell us what you don't want us to know if you'd like.
Well, you know, I have a very public position in town, and I am in a fishbowl, as you alluded to earlier. Yeah. Everybody is watching me and hanging on to every word I say. So I'm very mindful of that, but I also have a personal life and a personal side, and you know, there's some things that I enjoy that is my personal time, right? It's my escape from reality. I enjoy motorcycles and riding on motorcycles, and I currently don't have one in Colonial Beach. I would love to get one day soon. But, you know, to get out on a beautiful day like today and go ride for 3 or 4 hours and just be alone in my thoughts and in the surrounding area is a way for me to decompress. And I wouldn't say I'm an avid hunter. I enjoy hunting. So
what do you hunt?
Mostly deer and turkey. But I've never done any duck hunting, but I can go sit in a tree stand in December for 12 hours and not see a single animal and be very content. Of course, I always want to take the trophy deer or the trophy turkey or something, but if I don't see anything, I'm just alone with myself and my thoughts and separated from work. And so if there's a weekend in the fall and nobody can get a hold of me, don't worry, it's just because I'm in a tree stand somewhere.
You're either on a motorcycle riding someplace or,
right.
or in a tree stand. Okay, so what don't you want us to know about you? I'm just being silly. Well, thank you, Chief. This has been, I think, a very good conversation. And is there anything else that you want to add that I didn't ask you that's important to say?
I am here for the community. You know, I do need my personal time and my personal space. And when I am at work in uniform, Monday through whatever day I stop working, please feel free to come up and talk to me, and I'll try to remember your name the best I can. don't be embarrassed or scared or nervous to come and speak to me. Even if it's something negative that you feel that I did or my department did, please come share that with me, because that's the only way we're going to grow and learn. If I'm in civilian clothes, wearing running shorts and a t-shirt because I just ran a few miles, I don't have a problem with you coming up and talking to me then either, but just recognize that my headspace isn't in the work environment because I'm not at work. So you may need to give me a few minutes to catch up to the conversation, so to speak, of whatever it is. I went into an eating establishment last Saturday morning, and I was wearing civilian clothes, and the not the patrons, but the employees who see me often. I mean, I eat there a couple times a week. I think being in civilian clothes, not in uniform, kind of took them aback. But I am human, and I do wear regular clothes. You know, much like Superman, he had Clark Kent, and then Superman had his uniform. You know, I do have regular clothes, and I do things in the community outside of work. But feel free to talk to me at any time, because the job never stops, and I knew that taking the position, and I don't have a problem speaking with you at the Food Lion checkout line for 20 minutes about whatever your issue is.
While we're looking at your cart to see what you bought.
Sure. As long as my cold stuff doesn't get too warm, I will talk to you
your ice
as long
cream
as
milk.
The conversation needs to go.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate your time, because you took this time to do the Town Matters, and that was a very generous thing to do with your time. Because I know people don't come into town and want to do something like that immediately when they get here. But then when I found out that you were doing that, I said, oh, let's do Porch Talk, and you agreed to it right away. You didn't say, let me think about it, and I'll get back to you in 3 months. So that was very generous of your time. So I just want to thank you for that.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
The programming on 88.1 FM is made possible in part by WWER Watts members, who show their support of community radio by donating online at wwer.org/membership. If you like our programming, please consider contributing to wwer.org/membership.